Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This is our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show. We'll be joined today by Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, all the way from Kuwait. And in the studio, we have Chaplain Captain Rick Mesher here with us today. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, an estimated 10,874 people were killed in traffic crashes involving a driver with a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or greater in 2017. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it's important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, this is our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show. It's been dismantled a little bit this year, and it's going to be a little bit different because Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn is deployed with the Minnesota Army National Guard's 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, and he's joining us today from Kuwait. And in the studio, we have Chaplain Captain Rick Mesher, who is the Rear Detachment Chaplain taking care of the families. So, Chaplain Wynn, good evening to you from Kuwait.
Good evening, Tom. Thank you for the chance to connect once again.
And as I indicated at the opening, we're joined by the Rear Department Chaplain, Captain Rick Mesher, in the studio.
Greetings from Minnesota to Kuwait. Heard about the flooding, sir, and hopefully you've found some pontoons and a way to dig out.
You know, I got a little nervous the first morning when the flooding got to be pretty bad. I heard it all even before I sat down for breakfast. Hey, Chaplain, I see animals lining up in pairs outside my room. Should I be concerned? Hey, Chaplain, can you turn all this water into wine? That was a big one. Chaplain, can you? I heard you can part the Red Sea. What can you do for the floodwaters? But, you know, it was really neat because we watched our soldiers bond and come together and do what National Guard soldiers do. We didn't know we were going to have a domestic operations event here in the desert, but, you know, they threw some sandbags, and they found shovels, and they fixed it all before the Department of Public Works could come down and do their thing. So we survived the flood of 2018 in Kuwait and lived to tell about it, and we continue our mission.
Chaplain, I can hear you now just saying, Sergeant Ben, build me an ark.
That's right. We're going to talk to our engineer buddies and see what they could do.
Chaplain, we want to talk a little bit about you're over there with 650 Red Bull soldiers, probably got orders or an alert that you were going to go on this deployment about a year ago, and the division commander told us a couple weeks ago how they trained up for it, mobilized, and went down to Texas, and you're joining them, of course, as the division chaplain, but you've been deployed before. Did everything go the way you thought it was going to go, or did you learn some new things again?
No, it went exactly the way we thought it would, Tom. This is the Army, and everything happens on schedule, and, of course, I'm kidding. You know, that's why we serve as leaders, is to react and respond to the things that we can't change and the things we can't control. We solve problems, and, you know, we do the math. We looked at the deployment cycle. We knew that there's only a certain number of units like ours that can do this mission, and we knew that our number was coming up. So we began to prepare our families and prepare ourselves. You know, we prepare our family, our social lives, our emotional well-being, our physical selves, because the desert is a harsh environment, and laid out a training schedule that would enable us to be successful once we hit the ground running here in Camp Arifjan. So I got here. This is my third deployment to the Middle East, second to Kuwait. A lot of the folks that I'm here with, I was here with back when you came and visited in 2011, 2012 with the Mighty 1st Brigade Combat Team. But we got here in mid-October, and we took over the mission officially on November 12th. So we're about a month into the mission, and things are going well so far.
So, Chaplain, I know you were training up for this for many months before anyone left Minnesota, but then they went down to Fort Hood for some additional training. What was that like?
Well, other than the beginning and the middle and the end of our time at Fort Hood, it was fantastic there. We were the people here are laughing because they can relate. The challenge at Fort Hood was to work in an environment with, you know, minimal resources, a lot of challenges. We lacked for transportation. You know, we ate three hot meals a day, and that was good. But to get to the places we need to get all the medical stuff taken care of. I knew of a soldier that had a medical issue, and it didn't require necessarily an ambulance or an airlift, but, you know, the closest hospital or medical clinic was 45 minutes away. So we were not at Fort Hood proper. We were at North Fort Hood, which is a drive-through kind of a scrubland, and it's a training site for National Guard and Reserve units that come through and prepare to mobilize to the Middle East. And so, the good news was, you know, this is an opportunity for us to do an attitude check when things aren't going our way, and that's training as well. And we did that. We held regular church and worship services. We had a departure ceremony. It was very meaningful. And Chap Messer was there, and, you know, that allowed him to work with the rear detachment commander and forge that relationship as they went back to the rear to prepare to support those soldiers that didn't deploy, and, of course, all of our Red Bull families. They're doing a fantastic job of that.
We're speaking with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn all the way from Kuwait on Minnesota Military Radio. Chaplain, I understand that you were kind of on an advanced team. You were able to get to Kuwait a little bit before a lot of our soldiers. That had to help you get prepared for the rest of the Red Bulls to arrive.
I did, Tom, along with one of our other chaplains. We came on advance party, and that helped us to set up our religious support operations. You know, we're doing a whole lot more than just kind of walking around handing out Tootsie Rolls here. We're setting the stage for religious support across 20 countries with over 10,000 soldiers, and so we've got many unit ministry teams that are widely dispersed. And so to best take that mission over and understand where they're at, what they're doing, where their shortfalls exist, how they're doing, that couple week time frame, about 3 weeks that we had before we took the mission on, was extremely helpful. And that's something we'll pass to the unit that is replacing us as a best practice.
So, Chaplain, how many other chaplains are in the area with you in order to minister to those 10,000 troops?
Well, you might imagine there are a number of different commands here, and so not every soldier in the region belongs to the 34th Infantry Division. So we've got units that work on our left and our right, and we cooperate with them to ensure that every soldier has access to religious support. Here at Camp Arif, John, I've got myself and three other chaplains. We make up the division chaplain section, along with two fantastic NCOs. And then out in our area of operations, we've got another 20 unit ministry team, so 20 chaplains and 20 religious affairs specialists or non-commissioned officers, sergeants, and they're doing fantastic work. But in theater, we've got many dozens of chaplains from, Egypt up into Syria and Jordan, Iraq and Kuwait, Afghanistan and beyond, and they're doing great work.
So, sir, with access to that many chaplains, are you able to minister to all of the different denominations?
We are. And, you know, we do what's called a religious preference profile before we ever leave so that we know what the religious makeup is of our formation. And so we know what our needs are. And then, you know, because the numbers of soldiers that we would consider to be in low density, these might be soldiers who are Mormon, soldiers who are Wiccan, Muslim, Jewish, for example. We know who those individuals are. We reach out to them and get face-to-face and say, hey, we don't have a chaplain that's deploying forward that's specific to your denomination. How can we help you with your specific needs? And they're very transparent with us, very open, and we do all we can to take care of them. And for soldiers who have no faith, we try to communicate to them that, hey, look, you know, even though you're not a person of faith, please know that the chaplain is still a resource for you. You know, confidentiality is something that only chaplains can offer. Lawyers can't do it the way we can. Medical personnel, commanders. Chaplains can offer confidentiality that's absolute. And so regardless of one's faith condition or status, we can be a resource to soldiers to help them work through whatever issue they're challenged with.
Very good, sir. Chaplain, we have to take a short break. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn all the way from Kuwait on our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're engaged in our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show, and we're joined by Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, all the way from Kuwait. And in the studio, we have Chaplain Captain Rick Messer. And Chaplain Wynn, how's morale? How are our troops doing, sir?
Well, troops, as can be expected, it's a new mission. You know, it's new surroundings, and you find little ways to make your life a little bit better, even after, you know, rain and flooding. So people are doing well, and that can be expected. We've been doing this long enough now that we kind of know what the curve for morale looks like. And it upon arrival, it surges a little bit and goes up, and then it kind of levels back off. And then it usually will dip. And so because we know that, there's a lot that we can do as chaplains, as care providers, as leaders, and in advising our commanders. You know, there's things we can do to get ahead of that curve, to kind of flatten it a little bit. That's the way that we describe that to General Correll and his team. You know, we want to flatten that morale curve and keep it consistent. Typically, it'll bottom out, and then it'll start to go back up. You know, like I remember General Kevin Gerdes saying, you know, when the cows see the barn, you know, they start to get a little spring in their step. And so that morale will then go back up as we prepare to leave here the middle of next summer. So things are going well. You know, this is the holiday season, so it's very festive. The Morale, Welfare, and Recreation Department in the USO, as they have for so many decades, you know, goes all out to make sure that we have great reminders of the Christmas season back home.
Chaplain, you've been deployed before, and now you're out there with them, so you're experiencing the same thing as the rest of our soldiers. But at this time of year, you miss your families back home, and do some of the soldiers come in and talk about those things with you?
Sure do. And, you know, Tom, even though you know a year in advance that you're going to deploy, addressing those issues that are keeping you down, addressing the issues that are causing you struggles and pain, you know, it's a lot like when I was a young enlisted soldier and tried to quit smoking. You know, my mantra was always, I'll quit tomorrow. And a lot of times that's how it is, because it takes a lot of work to do that, to quit a bad habit or to change and address the issues that are causing you hardship in your life. And some people just say, hey, all I got to do is survive till deployment, and then, you know, I'll be away from those problems. But we know that those problems don't get better with time. So, yep. That's why chaplains are available. That's why we're dispersed. That's why we go out to visit soldiers, so we're proactive. We don't just sit in the office and wait for them to come to us. You know, we want to get out and about, visit them at their places of work, visit them at the gym, sit with them at the dining facility. And, of course, we respond to those crisis calls, but we've got worship services. We've got wellness centers here at Camp Arif, John. I really believe, Tom, just like I do back home, with our great, you know, family assistance centers and Yellow Ribbon programs. If you've got a problem, we can help you with it if you're willing to come forward and engage the resource.
Chaplain, we've been announcing on this show for on and off for months now that the Hugo Yellow Ribbon program, Chuck Haas and all his friends out there, have been very, very active, and they've been having these packaging parties and sending stuff over, and some of those things must help morale a bit as well.
They do, Tom. I just can't say enough about our friend Chuck Haas and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon and the great work that they've been doing really for years and years. They really have their finger on the pulse through just, you know, good connected relationships and committed volunteers, people like Chuck, that we're constantly in touch and able to tell them what the needs are. And so their efforts are extremely efficient. You know, they're really meeting the need. And we got a lot of people who are very well-meaning, and but it's funny what we get in care packages sometimes. It looks like some folks might have, you know, cleaned out an old linen closet or a junk drawer, and they mean well, but their stuff might end up going into a pile in the corner of stuff that people might not be able to make use of here. So thank goodness for Chuck Haas and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon. They're doing such a fantastic work.
And Chaplain, I understand one of our Yellow Ribbon companies, 3M, made a contribution as well.
They did, and that was, again, through Hugo, there was a few soldiers who had asked for, 3M hooks. Like, that would be a good thing to have, because, you know, when you're living in open bays, you only get so many hangers or hooks or places and things to hang stuff on. You got to dry your towels every day, and, maybe if you're doing laundry or you got kind of a stinky pee T-shirt, you got to hang it somewhere. So we got a giant shipment of 3M hooks. And for that, we are tremendously thankful. We got those dispersed. You know, as I said earlier, we've got folks in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, over in United Arab Emirates and Qatar. as well as Camp Arif here and Camp Buring up north. So we got those sent out, and we're very, very grateful to both Hugo and 3M for that.
We're speaking with Chaplain Buddy Wynn all the way from Kuwait on our annual Christmas Chaplains Show on Minnesota Military Radio. Chaplain, you've told us that you've got quite a few chaplains ministering to our Red Bulls, and you've got some NCOs that help you as well. How busy does that keep you?
Well, you know, Tom, it would be real easy just to kind of hang out in the office and hand out care packages, but we believe very much in what we're doing. We believe in our mission. I've got this young corporal with me. He's a new dad, and he's away from his family, but this is his second deployment since 2015. So, you know, you remember probably now Master Sergeant Brad Novacek. Brad and I were here together back in 2011 and 12. Next to me is Lindsay Williams, MMA fighter extraordinaire, and she was here with us in the last deployment. So, and then, of course, Sergeant Ben. So, you know, we've got a lot of experience in what we do, so we're not having to work quite as hard, perhaps, as we would in the past because of that experience. But it does keep us up late at night. We're up early in the morning. Fortunately, it's not a kinetic environment here at Camp Arif, John, and so the stress is a little bit lower. You know, we can maintain and keep a good work rest cycle. You know, physical training is a huge part of what we do, and it's also very good for our physical and mental and emotional health. So it's as General Correll said, it's we heard people say it's a marathon, not a sprint. He says it's a triathlon, not a marathon, because we have to be good at so many different tasks, and that's our focus.
Chaplain, a couple of things come to mind. As you know, I've been over to Kuwait twice and seen firsthand how our American soldiers can make themselves comfortable in any environment, including the desert. But a couple of things stuck out to me. Number one was the chow halls over there when we visited were, I thought, extraordinary. So there's plenty of food. And then what really struck me was that each of your soldiers get into a rhythm, a daily rhythm, where they know what they're going to do every day. And it seems like that rhythm is helpful.
It is, Tom. That predictability and reliability of the schedule is very important. And we try to, as leaders, ensure that our soldiers have that because that keeps their stress levels low. We want to send these soldiers back home, you know, better than when they got here, if at all possible. We don't want to just survive the desert. We want to thrive in the midst of it. So the schedule is important, and it's meaningful. And depending on someone's personality, you know, if we have to modify that schedule a little bit, they can get a little whipped up about that because that's the time they might be talking to their spouse, or they might be, at the gym for an hour period as they're pursuing a particular physical goal. So we do try to stay to that. We have a battle rhythm, so we've got a formalized process by which we set, you know, meetings and locations to discuss particular topics. And then, you know, the outputs from those meetings go to ensure that our commander has all the decisions that he needs to continue to lead our great organization.
Chaplain Messer, I think our soldiers that are over in the desert get into that battle rhythm, but the families that are here back at home, they still have to deal with the unknown and all of the crazy things that happen every day. It's a little different on this end, isn't it?
It's very different on this end. And we've been trying to tell them that it's more like Groundhog Day for our soldiers. And so it's the same routine for them over and over again overseas. Here they have to learn to be flexible. We've been encouraging them to, when they communicate with their families, not to listen to them, but not to get dragged into the negative sometimes, as soldiers can be. You know, we're not happy unless we're complaining sometimes. And so sometimes that can filter into the families. And so we're encouraging them, keep those conversations positive. And the other thing we did last weekend when our FRG meeting, we encouraged the families, don't lose sight of your traditions within the families. Let those things continue as best as you can. Talk to one family who had photographs made with Santa Claus, and they took a 8x10 of their soldier and had that with the photograph with their kids with Santa Claus. It was very interesting to see that and to hear them talk about that.
Chaplain Wynn, Chaplain Messer, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more with Chaplain Messer about the families who also sacrificed during deployments. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, all the way from Kuwait, and Chaplain Captain Rick Messer, who's here in the studio, and he serves in the position of Rear Detachment Chaplain. And Chaplain Messer, can you explain that to us? Chaplain Wynn's over there with the division. He's ministering to the troops. He's taking care of that side. But when our troops go on deployment, they sacrifice, but the families also sacrifice. And so, as I understand it, you're here to take care of all of those families should they need you.
Yeah, we are indeed, and it is a challenge for them because life goes on, and that's the difficult part. But now it's going on without their loved one with them. So I've talked to parents who have children going overseas for the first time. My wife and I experienced that for the first time in our military career when our son was deployed. That's a different dynamic when your own child is going overseas. And then some of our families, their spouses, have multiple deployments underneath their belt. And so their children are young, and some are old enough now to understand that mommy or daddy are not in the home anymore. And so that makes a big challenge for us. We're dealing with families who, again, hospital visits, things of this nature, phone calls from people just needing some help. We just received a phone call the other day of how do we get daycare help provided for us. And so we're getting them in touch with our family readiness group leaders and giving them the information that they need to conduct life as normal as possible without their loved one home.
Chaplain, I understand you've been deployed a couple of times, once to Kuwait and once to Djibouti, so you've experienced both sides of this.
I have indeed. I've deployed three times in combat, first time as a Marine, not as a chaplain, and then my last was Djibouti. The second one was with Chaplain Wynn going over as a chaplain in Kuwait, so I was over at the Kuwaiti Naval Base during that 2011-2012 deployment.
So those experiences must give you a good feel for what needs to be done.
They do. It's different on this end, though. I understood what my role was as a chaplain overseas with the soldiers, but coming back and dealing with families, it's more of a pastoral role that I have now, and I lean hard on my 29 years of pastoral experience to help me get through that.
So, Chaplain, what type of events are happening back home that affect the families, and what type of things do they reach out to you for as a help?
Well, especially right now during the holidays, it's very noticeable that the mom or dad are not home, and so we've encouraged them through our family readiness group meetings during the drill cycles that they just keep these activities as normal as possible, continue to decorate the trees, the house, go out for their events, have families over, all of those things. This last week, my wife and I taught one of the classes, and we were showing them how to build care packages for our families, to be creative in doing that. Don't just send them a box, but to send them a care package and have creativity in doing that. So that was received very well.
So you help give them some ideas of what type of things that the troops might like to have.
Yep, indeed. We try to give them ideas, and we try to make it worthwhile for the families when they're doing that. Don't just send them crazy stuff, but sometimes the soldiers need some things that they may not necessarily think of. The other thing we brought out during those meetings is that there are some soldiers who are not receiving anything at all. And so we encourage them to talk to their spouses overseas and their loved ones to see if they have a soldier that they can maybe adopt and send some things to them as well. Again, it just keeps them creative and keeps them active without focusing on the negative side of the deployment, being separated from family.
Chaplain, I can remember back to Vietnam, I'd always stop by the post office once a day just to see if there was a letter, anything, postcard.
Yes.
And I can remember also on that deployment that at Christmas time, my aunt sent me a tiny battery-powered Christmas tree with lights on it. I didn't even know they made those back then. But it was like we had a trophy. We shared it in the office. It was great. So some of those things are really important.
They're very important. When I was in Djibouti, it was interesting. We were living in CLUs, the containerized living units, and all of the folks that could had decorations sent to them, and so they would decorate their clues with Christmas trees and Christmas lights, and it was very interesting. It was also, you all had mentioned the Hugo group, and so my connection with Chaplain Wynn at that time, I was with the Florida Guard deployed, but we weren't able to receive anything, and he got in touch with the Hugo group, and my chaplain assistant was quite frustrated with me because we had boxes from floor to ceiling in my office. We didn't have an office anymore. It became a storage room because the Hugo group sent us so many things.
It turned you into a supply sergeant, sir.
Yes, it was wonderful.
We're speaking with Chaplain Rick Messer and Chaplain Buddy Wynn on Minnesota Military Radio. Chaplain, there's a lot of resources available to help. such as the Yellow Ribbon programs. There's Yellow Ribbon communities, Yellow Ribbon companies, and a lot of those communities I know make a point of trying to find out who's deployed and where the families are, and maybe just go visit, have coffee, or maybe bring some cookies.
They do. And it's good to be able to get plugged into those events. And we went to a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon event down here in Rosemont a few weeks back, and it was good to be able to connect with people, to share our story with them. From that, we actually had Chaplain Wynn, some family members from your church down at Fort Snelling came forward, and they actually helped some of our families by donating gift cards. It was wonderful to be a part of that. The family readiness groups, we can never underestimate them and the connection that they have with the families as well. So we're trying to get them plugged in with those resources and military one source, all of those things for us.
Chaplain, today we've got technology. You've got iPhones. You've got FaceTime. You've got all kinds of things. Does that help or does that hurt?
It all depends on how you use it. Sometimes it can be very helpful. A lot of times the families don't understand, like if there's something that is tragic that takes place on a military base, they shut down all of the internet. So now all of a sudden you're talking to somebody and it goes blank, or there's no longer internet. It gets a little frustrating sometimes. So we need to be able to explain to our families sometimes those things do happen. Not to be alarmed, but that's just part of our policies. When we're overseas.
So if they get shut down for a day or so, relax.
Yep.
They'll be back on. We can deal with it later.
Yep.
I've often thought we didn't have that technology when I was in Vietnam, and it was easier.
Indeed.
But it must be good in the evening to be able to connect with your family. But as you say, the families maybe want to manage the message as well as the troops.
Yep.
So that you don't alarm either side about something that's trivial.
One of the things that we expressed with our family readiness group and to the families was don't underestimate the value of a card or a letter. That gives you something tangible that you can hold on to. And my wife and I were explaining how years later, after I have all of these deployments, our kids will look through the letters that we sent to one another. And they will read those letters. That's a legacy, a history that we are creating.
It'll tell the story.
It tells the story, whereas a FaceTime message or something like that is kind of temporary.
So don't devote yourself to text or FaceTime.
Great point.
Yep.
Chaplain Wynn, do you get a lot of mail?
A lot of mail. Poor Corporal Olivero, that guy, he's going to have much bigger trapezius and deltoid muscles from all the lifting he's doing. All he wants for Christmas is a forklift so he can move all these boxes and care packages. But he's doing great work. We do, and we push him out as best we can. But, this time of the year is normal for that, for us to receive those packages. So we're very blessed by it. And I can't underscore Chap Messer's comments enough. Father Jerry Fain, who's still a great battle buddy, recently retired from the Minnesota Guard as a Catholic priest chaplain, has been writing me letters for years, and it's an absolute blessing. Never get tired of it, and I'll go back through and read them, and it really does a lot for our morale.
Chaplain Wynn, it must be helpful to you having deployed with Chaplain Messer, knowing that he's back here and how he operates and what he's doing. It must feel good to know that the two of you together, along with the other chaplains, are taking care of our troops and the families.
Yeah, it's a team effort, and Chaplain Messer is the guy for the job. He's got his pastoral care and just such a heart to love the families and help them, get the resources they need to empower them to find those solutions. So we're grateful for him for sure.
Chaplains, we have take a short break, but as usual and as is custom on the annual Christmas Chaplains Show, Chaplain Wynn is going to have a special Christmas message for all of us when we come back. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This has been our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn joining us all the way from Kuwait, and Chaplain Captain Rick Messer here in the studio. And Chaplain Messer, great to hear that you're back here being the Rear Detachment Chaplain, taking good care of our families. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us in the studio today.
Tom, thank you very much for allowing me to be here. It's a privilege and an honor. Thank you.
And now, Chaplain, we get to the best part of the Christmas show, because we're going to turn the whole thing back over to Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn for his Christmas message for all the people across Minnesota waiting to hear from you, Chaplain.
Thanks, Tom. And again, thank you to you and to Chap Messer for the great work you're doing in the rear and your whole team there with Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm a Christian chaplain, so the Christmas celebration is very important to me and those who are of the same tradition as I am. And as much as it's a holy and sacred holiday, it's become a cultural holiday. And this message of Christmas is all about hope. It's about confident expectation. You know, the reason we get up and do our mission every day is because we have hope. We have hope that we're going to get better at our job. We have hope that we're going to accomplish the mission. We're going to get home to our families. But sometimes it doesn't feel like Christmas. It doesn't feel hopeful. And sometimes life conspires to challenge the Christmas message of good news, of glad tidings, and great joy. Christmas is a time of the year with family celebration, food, presents, and get-togethers. But as soldiers and service members, sometimes the painful reality of being deployed interrupts our celebrations of the Christmas season. And when we lose some of those traditional supports, we believe perhaps that we can't experience the spirit of Christmas. So what happens when life conspires to wipe away our joy? Well, I think it's at times like that we can begin to see how far we might have strayed from the true message of this blessed season. What we need is something different and something deeper. There's an author and a speaker by the name of Jill Briscoe, and Jill was asked to speak to a church gathering in Croatia for 200 newly arrived refugees. This is back at a time when there was a great amount of fighting in that region of the world. And they were mostly women because the men were dead or they were in camp or they were out fighting. And that evening she told the refugees about Jesus, that as a baby he became a refugee himself. He was hunted by soldiers. His parents had to flee to Egypt at night, leaving everything behind. We can't hardly comprehend that reality. And she sensed that the audience was really listening intently, and she continued to tell them about Jesus' life. And she got to the story of the cross, saying, he hung there, and it's not the way the pictures tell you. And at the end of the message, she said, all these things happened to you. You're homeless. You've had to flee. You've suffered unjustly, but you didn't have a choice. He had a choice, and he knew all of this would happen to him, and yet he still came. And then she told him why. And many of the refugees knelt down, they put up their hands, and they wept, and they said, you know, he's the one who really understands. So ironically, in those times when it least feels like Christmas, it might be the most like Christmas. Because maybe hope, in the midst of strange or uncomfortable or confusing circumstances, is the closest that we can get to that true and original spirit of Christmas. Oftentimes, the lack of internal peace that we desperately seek, that soldiers are coming to the chaplains and other providers for on a regular basis, that lack of peace just about convinces us that God's love has waned. Because how can God really love us when he allows such pain and suffering to enter our lives or to exist in the world? But it was because of that very pain and suffering that God came in the first place. And when all the things that spell security and comfort are removed from our life, we become keenly aware of how much we needed God to enter the world. I mean, we can't make heaven on earth, Tom, no matter how hard we try, no matter how many Christmas lights we put up, or no matter how we decorate the tree, because sin has affected and infected everything we touch. And so we need to be rescued. We need a Savior. And a powerful way to appreciate having a Savior is to imagine what it would be like not to have one. Imagine that your pain or your suffering and the things that you're going through have no meaning, that life is just simply ruled by fate. That maybe you're just unlucky, and wrongs will never be made right, truth is relative, and hope for a better world is just really a dream. Well, I'd say in that reality, when silent suffering and hidden pain don't have a divine audience, they're ours to bear alone, there's no hope beyond this life. But we have a reason for rejoicing, and that's because a Savior was born, and our suffering touches his gracious heart. And he came not only moved by our suffering, but he came to join us in it and lowered himself from the Godhead down to earth to suffer what we suffer, to feel what we feel, to cry with us and hunger with us, to thirst with us and live with us. In the end, the Almighty God made himself vulnerable to all the pain of human life. And so Christmas reminds us that we can put our hope in a sure thing, and that's the love of God, which was demonstrated so beautifully on that wonderful day when he came forth into the world as a baby. And because of our helplessness, our hopelessness, our despair, he left his throne in heaven. And that is the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. If you're on the broadcast and you're listening, I invite you to take a moment to pray with me. Gracious God, from time to time we all feel loneliness. And wherever Christmas finds us this year, Lord, I pray that we enjoy this season with the Savior. Lord, thank you that we're not alone even in our times of loneliness, that this Christmas we can ask you to help us to enjoy our fellowship with you, with our battle buddies, and even across the airwaves with our families, and to reach out and share your love with others. With Jesus at Christmas, we're never alone. want to thank everyone who took the opportunity to tune in today. Especially want to let our families know how much we love them, how much we miss them. As I talk to soldiers regularly, we purpose to never take their love and support for granted. And although we have, you know, 6 full months and parts of a couple other months left, we're going to continue to work hard and do the mission and make you proud of us. We love you all. We wish you all a Merry Christmas and to all of our friends of all faith traditions. We wish you a blessed holiday season and a happy holidays, and we can't wait to be in touch. From all of us here with the Red Bulls at Camp Arif John Kuwait, for now we'll sign off. God bless and take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Chaplain Nguyen. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
The show this week will have special meaning for many veterans. We'll be visiting with the chaplains who have served our soldiers while they were in combat. As every combat vet knows, with those experiences, we bring back memories and feelings that we must deal with. This is very, very important that we reach out to all veterans and thank them for their service. And to all veterans who have been there, done that, I will say to you, as I say to many others, this too, while you'll never forget it, is something that we will deal with, we will understand, and we will continue to reach out and help each other. The best thing all veterans can do is take care of their fellow veterans and care for their families and live the life that we've been allowed to live following our experiences. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We have a great Christmas poem that we want to share with you today. It started out being called Merry Christmas, My Friend, and has been a holiday favorite among service members and veterans for years. Few, however, know who wrote it and when. Former Corporal James Schmidt, stationed at the Marine Barracks, Washington, D.C., pounded it out in 1986. Over the years, the text of Merry Christmas, My Friend has been altered to change Marine-specific wording into Army references and to incorporate lined-ending rhyme changes necessitated by those alterations. Here it is. We hope you'll enjoy it.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give, to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantle, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees. I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. But I couldn't control it, and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All's secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
We're grateful for that reading by Father Ted Berndt. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, all the way from Kuwait, Chaplain Captain Rick Messer, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we go on the road again, and please join us for lunch next Thursday at the Osseo American Legion for our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.